my fellow canine enthusiasts, and welcome to Into the Canine, Episode 1, The Beginner's Guide. I believe it's safe to say 99%, if not 100% of you guys listening already have a dog or a puppy. And I would also say it's safe to assume that if you do have a puppy or a dog, you're already experiencing some kind of behavioral issues you need help in correcting. If that is you, I still recommend Episode 1, because let's face it, puppies are like M&Ms and you can't just have one. So for now, let's dive in and address the very beginning of puppyhood and what you should look for and what you should consider when choosing a puppy and how to train the puppy once you get it. Step 1. Choosing your breed. This may seem rather monotonous, but it is very, very important that you do your research when choosing a breed that fits your lifestyle. You may be fooled by what you see on TV or what's popular now and end up with a breed of dog you're not able to control or that requires too much work to train or even groom. I'll give you an example of this. I was 8 years old, and Glenn Close was playing Cruella de Vil in 101 Dalmatians. Maybe you guys remember that movie? I, along with my siblings, and probably every other kid in America, begged and begged my parents for a Dalmatian. Back then, my family didn't know anything about looking for a breeder, and the internet isn't something I even knew existed. So research was out of the question. So with that being said, my parents went out and got us kids not one, but two Dalmatians from not a breeder, but a pet store, which is a huge no-no today. Well, little did we know that those adorable Dalmatian puppies would grow up to be large, crazy, out-of-control dogs. And did I mention one was deaf? Yes, Hank and Pongo. Real original, I know, but cut me some slack. I was 8. They helped me in so many ways. Pongo turned out to be as deaf as a doornail, and my parents didn't want to keep him, or Hank for that matter. They didn't know how to teach them, and it was a living nightmare for them. And I get it, they both worked really long hours, and they didn't want to come home to a torn up house and get jumped on every night, which happened daily. But I was able to make a deal with them. I had a month to train my dogs, or they both had to go. And you want to know what happened? I taught those crazy dogs. I taught them basic commands, and Pongo, well, I taught him sign language. And I still use that same skills that I had back when I was 8 to teach deaf dogs today. There was a deaf golden doodle here a few months ago, and I taught her all the basic commands using sign language, and her owners, who are about to give up, now love living with her, and they say she's a joy to have. Now, 8-year-old me had no idea teaching puppies would push me into a career. I was just trying to save my dogs from having to leave. But it taught me a lesson that I now want to teach you. 1. Do your homework, and make sure you're ready for the breed you signed up for. We live in 2021. There's internet. It's at your fingertips, literally, on your phone. So do some research. 2. If the breed you love more than anything happens to fall under the crazy, hyper, or even deaf umbrella, well, you can train that dog to be a rock star in your home. You just have to teach your dog that way they learn. Teach them the way that they learn, not the way that you might see a typical dog learning, because every dog's different, just like people. There are some breeds who are known to be more high-strung or stubborn, but like I said, if you train them, put in the work, you'll be able to train any dog. So with that in mind, if you know after work you're going to be exhausted and you don't want to come home and do more than crash on the couch, don't choose a breed that requires hours of running off energy. I'm looking at you, Huskies. Get yourself a breed that is fine with chilling on the couch. And on the reverse side of that, if your family is super active and always up for hiking, swimming, adventures, well, unless you want to carry your small lap dog in your backpack, don't get a tiny dog who can't keep up on your 10-mile hike. Makes sense, right? That's why research and breed choosing is so important. So, now that you have thought it all out and found what breed works for you, let's talk about finding the pup of your dreams. With all breeds come great reputable breeders. Even ones who are known to have strong character traits, you can still find breeders who breed for temperament. Don't go on Craigslist and try to find the cheapest dog you can and expect it to meet all your expectations and require zero work, because I'm gonna level with you. That $300 dog you just bought, probably not well bred, and you're gonna end up putting in tons of hours with it, not to mention possible vet bills. Did I mention unbred dogs require lots of work? I recommend finding a breeder who meets the following. Number 1. Most important, who health tests the parents and offers a 1 or 2 year health guarantee. I personally offer a 2-year guarantee, but a 1 is better than nothing. Number 2, a breeder who shows their dogs or does some kind of job with them. Dog diving, obedience, you name it. I'm less worried about the clubs they show through, AKC, UKC, Ibeka, because all those judges are the same. Mind blown, I know. But an AKC judge is also showing at the UKC judges thing. They judge all of it. So as long as the breeder is out there bettering the breed in some kind of way, that doesn't, that's what you want to look for. So, number 3, price does matter. So we sell our poodles anywhere from $15 to $2,000, and they are worth every single penny. We start sensory work with the puppies at 3 days old and potty training at 4 weeks old, and crate training as well. Find a breeder who is putting in that kind of work. Do not get offended when the breeder asks for what the puppy's worth, because the time spent into it, it's a lot. You have no idea. Number 4, find a breeder who cares where their puppy is going. A good breeder will not just let their pup go to any old home, and that's a great sign of a good breeder, so look for that. Number 5, will the breeder let you see their home? Now, this one is tricky because I know there's COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. And I know a lot of amazing breeders who are not keen on letting the strangers in their home with that going on. But here's kind of my take on it. If you put your deposit down, you can visit your puppy anytime. But for buyers who like to just come and play with puppies and then go home to home to home, going to all the breeders, that's how germs and parvo get spread. Usually my buyers are A-okay with us and don't even ask to visit just because we send weekly pictures and videos and they can watch their puppy grow from the comfort of their home. However, if a buyer wants to visit, they're certainly welcome anytime. Number 6, do not take home a puppy until they're at least close to 8 weeks old. I don't let mine leave before 8 weeks, and I do know sometimes the 8-week mark falls on a weird day of the week. If that's the case, a couple days before, not gonna be a big deal. But if you find a breeder who is A-okay with letting their 5- or 6-week-old puppy go home, that's a huge red flag, and you should not buy. Puppies need time with their siblings and mama to learn social cues, and alongside a good breeder, they are learning potty training, crate training. We do scent work as well with our puppies, so they're learning a slew of things that they can't learn if they're going home too early. Taking them home too early can also result in behavioral issues, health issues, and so much more, which we'll discuss later in our next podcast, so stay tuned for that. Number 7, be sure to find a breeder who gives their first 2 rounds of shots, at 6 weeks and again at 8 weeks. I also prefer breeders who give you a take-home bag full of food, treats, shot records, AKC papers, potty pads. Side note with the potty pads, don't pull over and let your 8-week-old puppy out of the car. No telling what lies in the grass where you have stopped, and I have heard way too many horror stories of puppies who have been picked up, got the parvo on the way home. So I recommend bring a crate and let your puppy go to the bathroom in the crate. It may get a little messy, but it's better than dealing with parvo, I promise you. Also, with that being said, a lot of puppies will just chill in the car ride home if someone can hold them, but I'm talking about for longer drives. Now let's switch topics a smidge. The runt of the litter. All of our puppies are very well cared for, and we make sure that if there is a runt, he or she gets plenty of nutrition and the same amount of love from the mom. Not all breeds are this way, and some runts are only saved due to the breeder. If you find yourself at what I call a backyard breeder's home, then be wary of the runt. So what do I mean by the backyard breeder's home? We've all been there where you see that ad in the newspaper, back then, and it's like, puppy is for sale. Come to this house. So you go there and there's 10 dogs all in a pen. The house smells like dog. And you go in and you look at the dogs and you pick one out and you take it home. Everyone remembers how to do that, right? Well, that's the kind of home I'm talking about. If you see a puppy off to itself while the other puppies are trying to get your attention, this is a sign. Go for the pups who are actively seeking your attention. These puppies are more outgoing, less prone to being scared of surroundings, and make better dogs. They also, depending on where you get the pup from, less prone to health problems. But again, the run of the litter, doesn't really matter if you're going to a reputable breeder, which you should be after listening to this podcast. With that being said, all of our runts go to amazing homes, and we never had any behavioral or health problems with them. But, we do guarantee our puppies for up to 2 years, so if anything did come up, we would cover that, which is why you want to look for that 2-year health guarantee when looking for a breeder. Okay, so now that we know what to look for in good breeders, let's talk about my favorite subject, puppy proofing and bringing home your puppy. So, please do not call your breeder telling her while you were gone your puppy chewed up your shoes and you came home to a mess. Number one, don't leave your puppy unattended. If you cannot be right there to keep an eye on that baby, then put it in a crate. Do not leave the house and expect your furry little angel to not get into trouble, no matter what breed they are. They are just like babies. They will self-destruct in T-minus 10 seconds after you leave the house. Number two, keep all your belongings up off the floor. So many buyers give their puppies a couple toys and expect the puppy to magically know the difference in what they can have and can't have. And this is bonkers. Puppies, just like babies, do not know the difference. Everything within reach to a puppy, it's fair game. Number three, keep up on all the crate training. So, even if your puppy screams bloody murder, do not let them out until they are quiet. And here's a side note. Puppies and dogs live in a 2-minute time period. What does that mean? If your dog cries for 20 minutes and then 10 seconds they're quiet and you let them out, they think their crying got them out. I know, another mind-blown moment, right? So, I like to help teach my puppies to potty or to crate train at night when if I were to buy a new puppy, okay? This is to you guys who just bought a puppy. I like to let them go at night, so I put a pee-pee pad in the crate, and then I say, "Good night, little angel." Until the middle of the night, they usually will wake you up crying to go out. Unless it's a normal up time, let them out and then put them right back in until morning. No playing, nothing like that. Just like when you would potty train a baby in the middle of the night, like your 2-year-old or 4-year-old. I don't know how old they are when you potty train them. So, you can also use different sprays that help calm your puppy, and a lot of buyers swear by those as well. Number four, don't take your pup out into high traffic places just yet. Until they've had awful rounds of shots, your puppy is susceptible to getting parvo, and you do not want to risk that. Feel free to go through the drive-thru with your little one, but save the walks at the park after all 4 rounds of shots are given. With that being said, I wouldn't recommend visiting a dog show or going anywhere that there's a lot of pets because you can pick up parvo on your shoes and bring it back home to your dog. I know, another mind blown. So for now, keep away from high traffic areas. Number 5, feel free to start teaching your dog basic commands. Sit, lay down, off, come. These are all great things you can start to teach your little one. Sitting on the floor next to your puppy will help their focus, so get on your puppy's level. Don't be up high, because they're not going to look up at you most of the time anyway. Several small spurts of training is way better, because some breeds really don't have that good of an attention span, okay? Understanding the world through your puppy's eyes. So, we can all agree, puppies are cute, puppies are playful, puppies are adorable. Puppies can be pains in the butt. They are trying to figure out where they rank in the pack from the minute you bring them home. They need discipline and they need boundaries or they are going to run you over. If you catch your puppy doing something they shouldn't be, I recommend the mama dog technique, which isn't a scientific name, I just made it up. When mamas get onto their babies, they put their mouths on the back of their puppies' necks. So to demonstrate this with my puppies, when they're doing a behavioral I don't like, I put my hand on the back of their neck and I gently shake it like their mom would. This is a surefire way of getting your pup to understand what they're doing is wrong and usually stops the behavioral pretty quickly. Also, get a spray bottle and fill it with vinegar and water. My mama taught me that one. Put the bottle on stream and spray them in the face until it knocks out that behavior, which is pretty quickly. So, you may be wondering, when do I use the mama dog technique and when do I use the spray bottle? Well, that's really up to you, but here's how I do it. If I have a puppy in the playpen and they're barking, raising cane, trying to get out, that's a spray bottle time. But if they're chewing on the couch, that's for the mama dog technique. Think of the spray bottle as a talking to and the mama dog technique as more of a stronger punishment. But either of these techniques will work and neither will result in a skittish puppy, okay? They just have to get in trouble, just like spanking your kiddo. The jumping up puppy. Now, this is one of my favorite techniques, or my favorite topics here, is jumping up. There are many, many ways of dealing with a puppy who likes to jump up. But the first one should never be to reward your puppy. That means bend down, petting them. Even if you bend down and knock them off of you, they're still getting that reward affection from you. So, many people use the puppy's demand for attention, Yes, I said demand. As a reason to pet and love on their puppy. Like, oh, he's so cute. Don't do it. This just results in an older dog demanding, attention from you. It could be a 60 or 80 pound puppy. I'm sorry, dog, once it got older, and you don't want that jumping on you. So, no one likes a dog who jumps up. So, let's address this behavior as a puppy, and for you guys with older dogs as well, we'll address how to fix them too. So, for a puppy who is oftentimes pretty small, you can ignore it or say no, and they will pick up on that and not jump up. There is always the spray bottle method as well. You can use the mama dog technique, but I don't really think it's necessary here. If ignoring your puppy doesn't work and the spray bottle is a miss, then the next method is the shake method. My favorite for the puppies. Get a jar. I like to use a sippy cup because I can hook it on my hip and just keep it with me all day. Put some coins in it. And every time that puppy jumps on you, you shake it really hard and it'll scare the bejesus out of your puppy. And they'll jump down and that works really quickly at getting a puppy to stop jumping up. For the older dogs, you can certainly use the shake method, but I find the quickest way is holding their front feet. And this is why. This trick works better for the taller dog. Hold both feet and they will soon realize they do not like it at all. Some pups try to mouth your hand to get you off. Some will cry and pitch a huge fit. I'm telling you, I've not seen a dog pitch a fit till you hold their feet. But you cannot let go until they calm down, and each dog moves at their own pace on this one. But this is my favorite way because it is super duper effective. You can also try running your back. I'm sorry. You can also try turning your back. But I find it takes way longer to stick in your dog's brain. If it's an older dog, they'll just keep jumping. You know, everyone's seen that. That's an older type method. I prefer the hold 'em method, which again isn't scientific. Something I made up. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to our podcast. For more puppy love, simply Google Fire and Ice Poodles or feel free to email us. It's stormyferguson88@gmail.com. Stormy, S-T-O-R-M-I, Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N, 88@gmail.com. For answers to any behavioral problems you may be experiencing, just email me. I'll get back with you. And also, we will be back next week at another podcast, and I hope to see you there. Thanks for listening, y'all.